Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
720 WGN, John Landecker, 11 minutes after 7 o'clock. You want to talk cicadas? They may be here now, but they won't be here later. But I'll tell you who is here now, who knows a lot about cicada, is our good friend Rebecca Fife from Landmark Pest Management. Good evening.
Hi, John.
Whoa, I don't have, which mic are you on? Let's try that one.
Okay.
There, I got you.
Excellent. I'm very excited to be here, and I'm very excited about the cicada emergence.
Yes, I know that you are, and so am I. But I think I'm a little bit more excited that you're going to be here this hour than I am actually about the cicadas themselves. Because, one, you have a wealth of information about this whole cicada thing. Two, you have information about cicada artwork, sculptures that are similar to that thing we had in Chicago where there was a cow on every corner.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Plus, you, Rebecca Fife, are going to be reading children's cicada storybooks online, on YouTube, on where?
Yes, starting the first week of May through July on Facebook Live on Landmark Pest Management's Facebook page. I'm going to read a different cicada storybook to children and adults who enjoy cicada storybooks every week.
Now, you would say to yourself, come on, where do you find cicada storybooks? Well, I guess Amazon or somewhere, because Rebecca has brought in how many different storybooks this evening?
I brought four today.
And later,
I have more.
Well, later you're going to recite, as though we were children watching you, you are going to recite portions of one of these storybooks for children's storybooks about cicadas.
Yes. We'll hear a page of Cicada Symphony by author Lisa Kobman, and it's beautifully illustrated.
Who knew that there was such merchandise around the cicada, but why not? But we have, well, let's see. I guess the more, we have the, not the nuts and bolts, but the, let's, you know, the actual facts about what's going to occur. And we're going to take a break here in just a second, but let me read to you some of the headlines that I've seen.
Please.
Okay. States brace for rare massive cicada invasion. That's one. Cicadas are nature's weirdos. They pee stronger than us, and an STD can turn them into zombies.
That's true.
They are the strongest urinators in the animal kingdom. Don't look up. Cicadas produce high-speed jets of urine. Beware the cicada killer. 2024 broods will need to watch out for this murderous wasp.
Ooh, also true.
All right, and for the first time since 1803, I believe, 1 trillion, is that the right number?
Yes.
One trillion cicadas from two major broods are going to be amongst us soon.
That's right.
More coming up next on 720 WGN. Yes, a cicada love song. How appropriate. John Landecker at 720 WGN, 18 minutes after 7, with Rebecca Fife from Landmark Pest Management. She's been on before. You know, she knows what she's talking about. So, what do you want to say about all this press, PR? You know, there's been two things I've been hearing about lately. Caitlin Clark and cicadas. So what's up with these cicadas?
I think the cicadas need a publicist, John. I
truly
think that you and I should work together tonight to re-image the cicadas.
Okay, rebrand, so to speak?
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Cicadas are great for the environment, and they're an indicator of a healthy environment. So we're lucky they're here at all. It means that the environment is healthy enough to have
How
them.
So? How does it help the environment?
Well, lot of different ways.
Okay.
So people might think that cicadas feeding underground on the roots of trees is bad for the trees, but it's quite the opposite, actually. So they feed on xylem, which is a low-nutrient fluid, and the trees don't miss it. They have it to spare, so it doesn't harm the trees to have them underground. And then when the cicadas emerge, they create tunnels called emergence tunnels. And these tunnels, once the cicada comes out the top of the tunnel, provide a conduit for rainwater to more directly access the roots of the trees.
Interesting.
So they help the trees get water.
Nature's wonderment.
You got it.
Indeed.
They also help the trees because it's a natural source of aeration. Mm-hmm. These emergence tunnels aerate the soil and allow the trees to have higher quality roots in two ways. First, for nutrient uptake, and next, for stabilization, so that trees are less likely to tip over. And when the cicadas lay their eggs and the females use their ovipositors, which is a little, you know, dagger-like saw to saw the tiniest little spot in the smallest branches toward the outside of the trees, they prune the tree. It's a natural pruning effect. And the year after a cicada emergence, because of two factors, one of which is that pruning, the trees have more fruit and more flowers, so very healthy for the ecosystem. Then the other reason is, at the end of the season, when the cicadas die, they only have a 4 to 6 week lifespan. Their bodies pile up at the base of the trees and provide nutrients and fertilization for the trees. So that's how they're great for the ecosystem.
Wow. I'll say, I had no idea. I mean, there is a direct correlation between the health of the tree and the health of the cicada.
Yes.
So why does it take them so long? They're underground for how long?
They're underground. So there are annual cicadas that are underground for a year, and those are found worldwide. There's 2,000 different species. But the periodical cicada that spends either 13 or 17 years underground is unique to North America. It doesn't occur anywhere else in the world.
Well, Illinois is one of the areas that will be part of this year's emergence.
Yes. So in 2020, we had a sub-brood emerge of the brood 19, which is a 13-year cicada. It's so the sub-brood emerged. It was a portion of that brood 19. And we saw a lot of periodical cicadas, and they were wonderful. So now the rest of that brood 19, the brood 13, the 17-year cicada, is going to emerge here. But the brood 19, the 13-year cicada, is going to emerge just south of Chicago, about a two-hour drive.
Wow.
In Champaign County, DeWitt County, Douglas and Coles County, and Iroquois County. And the broods overlap there. So that's where, if you really want to see a lot of cicadas, you need to go. And do you know a lot of people who just went to Carbondale?
Just going to bring that up.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for the eclipse.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So there was a lot of eclipse tourism to get in the path of totality. What I propose is cicada tourism. So we need to travel at peak cicada time in, you know, 2 weeks or a month. We need to get to Iroquois County, Champaign County, and, you know, fill up their Airbnbs and fill up their hotels so that we can see this experience of these two broods overlapping in that part of the state, a phenomenon that hasn't happened, like you said, in 221 years. And Thomas Jefferson was president last time this happened. It's not going to happen again in our lifetime. So I think it's a really good idea that we go and really check out the effect of it.
Okay. Questions come to mind. Also, 312-981-7200 if you got a thought, input, question for Rebecca, whatever. Text and phone number. Now, let me get back to what you were saying here. What will we see? Okay, say we go down there. We fill up all the B&Bs and all that kind of stuff. What will we see? What will we witness?
So in areas where there are trees, when you look down in the dirt, you're going to see up to 300 holes every square meter. These are the emergence holes. They're the size of your pinky.
Yeah.
And it will be the area where each hole will be where one cicada came out. And then we're going to see the cicadas themselves. They come out, you know, in their nymphal phase. They don't have wings, and they crawl out and they hold on to the trunk of a tree or branches or leaves or grass or your tire. Or in my case, I left some dog toys out in the backyard in 2020. And when the periodical cicadas emerged, they were the shells were clinging onto my dog toys and the cicadas were molting out of them. Then we're going to see through a hormonal process, the back of that nymph is going to split open. It takes, you know, about 40 minutes, and the winged cicada inside is going to emerge, but it's not going to be recognizable to us as a cicada because it's going to be really pale, whitish green because it doesn't get its color until it hardens about 40 minutes later. So then you're going to see the newly emerged winged cicada clinging to the shell that it just molted out of, drying its wings and doing something called sclerotizing, which is when its exoskeleton hardens. And then when its wings are ready to fly, it's going to fly, and it will go up into the trees, and within a few days, the males will start singing, and the females will be receptive to their seductive song, and they will reproduce, and then the females will use that little saw, that ovipositor that we talked about, and they'll saw the tiniest little tips of the branches and deposit their egg, and then the nymphs will emerge from the egg, fall down into the dirt, and they'll slumber there under the roots of the plants, drinking the xylem for another 13 or 17 year cycle.
All right. Wow. So, it's a billion cicadas. Do they do this in unison?
No. So they emerge at different times over a few weeks.
Okay.
And then once they emerge, they have a 4 to 6 week lifespan. So the whole event may go on for a few months because the cicadas don't all emerge in one night. They may start emerging in one night, like the first night where we have a really beautiful rain that soaks the ground. Once soil temperatures reach about 64 degrees, they'll start coming out. And then they'll come out for another 2 weeks. And you'll just notice more and more emergence holes and more cicadas.
So when does the, okay, let me get my thoughts together here. When does the high decibel sound of all of this occur in this process? Obviously, they have to have, that's towards the end, I would guess.
So it'll be throughout. Cicadas don't start singing right after they come out in their winged form. They take a few days to get ready to sing, and then they start singing, and then they sing for their whole 4 to 6 week lifespan.
Wow.
And then more cicadas emerge over the next 2 weeks, and they, you know, start singing after a few days and then sing for their 4 to 6 week lifespan. This will be done 100% by, let's say, September, because the dog day cicadas, which are the annual cicadas, are called dog day cicadas because that corresponds with the dog days of summer, the end of the summer, July, August. So they emerge just a little bit later. You're not really going to be able to differentiate the singing. You'll be able to differentiate them by looking at them, but mm-hmm. they both make noise in the trees. So the noise is going to go until with the periodical cicadas until around July, and then with the dog day cicadas just a bit longer.
So you mentioned just a few minutes ago that you put dog toys in the backyard for all of this, and
yes.
that the cicadas came and clung to the dog toys. So I take it that if one wanted to participate in that fashion, and you knew that you were living in an area where the cicada thing was going to occur, you could take whatever it is that you wanted, set it out there in the backyard, I would assume close to a tree.
Yes.
And you would witness this happening on whatever you put in the yard.
Yeah, you'd have a good chance of it. We have a little garden box in our backyard. They were all over our garden box in 2020.
When would that happen? When should I put something in the backyard? When is this going to happen?
We're getting close.
Yeah.
They've already emerged a bit in Ohio, and sometime within the next 2 weeks, I think. I mean, it could be as late as mid-May, but I think everything is running a bit early. We're having all of this unseasonably warm weather.
Right,
so
it
could be much sooner than mid-May.
Rebecca Fife from Landmark Pest Management is with us. And she will be with us for another half hour if you care to comment or have a question. 312-981-7200. We have more cicada stuff to get to, which we will momentarily. Cicadas, that's what we're talking about right now, this hour. Whoa! Sounds like somebody over-cicaded.
That was pretty loud, but it's accurate because male cicadas can reach decibels comparable to a lawnmower.
Wow. Okay. Rebecca Fife, Landmark Pest Management, here at 720 WGN, 312-981-7200. Everything about cicadas and more. And there was something I mentioned earlier, and we got a call from Mary Jo, who's in, I believe, Minnesota. Mary Jo, are you there?
I am. Did I turn off my radio or not?
Yeah, go ahead. I guess that would probably be the best thing. Make it easier for all of us. Although I don't hear I don't hear any feedback now. So, what did
okay,
do
you? Good.
Do you have a question?
I'm a tech dummy, so let's keep it the way it is. Yes, I live in Minnesota now, just on the west end of Lake Minnetonka, and I used to live in Barrington, Illinois, which is
nice.
So where my incident happened.
An incident?
No, I was out on my terrace, and this biggest bug was flying by, and I called my exterminator. He came. And I said, what is that? Well, he just was smiling. He was so pleased to see it. It was a cicada wasp. Rebecca, you know those things?
They're my favorite. I'm glad you brought them
up. Thank you. So is this the wasp that killed cicadas?
It is. Yeah, it's a cicada killer wasp, and it is enormous. It's about the size of your thumb. And luckily, they're completely non-aggressive with humans. The cicadas, they're not so lucky. But with us, we have nothing to worry about. So the way cicada killer wasps work is they like sandy soil. They love the Skokie, Morton Grove, Glenview area. We see them in every suburb, but they especially love that area. And they dig a burrow, and you can see a runway leading into the burrow, a little trail that they dig. And each mama cicada killer wasp needs to find a cicada to sting in just the right spot near its neck to anesthetize but not kill it. Then she drags it deep in her burrow, and she uses her ovipositor to deliver her egg into the live cicada, and that larvae grows inside the cicada, eats the cicada, and emerges as a new cicada killer wasp. And they are solitary, meaning they don't live in colonies or groups, but they do put their runways and their little tunnels, their little burrows right next to each other. So you could have a few hundred solitary cicada killer wasps in your front yard. And when I get a call about them, I will often go out. So Landmark Pest Management gets the phone call. I try to convince the person over the phone not to do anything about it. I let them know that they're not aggressive toward people. They're absolutely fascinating to watch. And I tend to invite myself out to enjoy it with them. So I'll go out to a lovely home and meet with a lovely person.
Yeah.
And I lay down in their yard and I put my face inches away from the cicada killer wasp's runway and tunnel. And I watch them go in and out. And if we're lucky, we watch them bring back a cicada that they've stung to put it in their burrow. So cicada killer wasps are super cool. They're not territorial in any way. They don't protect a territory around their tunnel. They will fight with each other and try to steal each other's cicadas, which is really funny. So a cicada killer wasp will manage to catch a cicada and it will be carrying it back. And it's a huge load because it's larger than its own body weight. And another cicada killer wasp will see that easy meal, and instead of wanting to go get its own, it'll try to steal the cicada from that one. So it's a really great show to watch. So I lay in people's front yards, watch this with them, and I have about an 80% success rate of convincing people not to use a pest control solution to abate their cicada killer wasp. I convince them to just wait it out for the season. I don't tell them the part that, you know, you're going to have even more next year. They come back to the same spot every year.
Yeah,
I leave that out. And no, I'm just kidding. I fully disclose, but I teach people that it's a really important part of nature.
Right.
And I've actually had people make signs for their front yard because they said, you know, I can put up with this. But people walking along the sidewalk, they're going to think we're nuts and they're going to be afraid of them. And I said, we'll put up some signs to educate them. So we actually had a family who engaged their children in making educational signs about cicada killer wasps along the sidewalk so that people passing their front yard wouldn't be terrified.
Wow. That is really something. See, Rebecca Fife. She's all about it. I'm telling you, it's more than just it's a passion. Right? I mean, would that be a correct word to use with you and the bug world, so to speak?
That's the right word. And I really want to share that passion, especially with children. So Brood 13, which is the brood that is very populous in Illinois and Indiana, it's our Chicagoland brood. Mm-hmm. They're coming out, you know, this year, May of 2024, and they're not going to emerge again until 2038. So this isn't, you know, something that we can snooze on and get another chance right away. So the kids that are little kids now, to be involved in citizen science and get really into this and study this and make observations about nature, the time is now, because there's not going to be another chance to do it right here until 2038.
What are the conditions that have brought this about? Why, I understand that it's a rarity, but why these two broods at this particular point decide to emerge simultaneously, so to speak?
You know, they're each on a schedule, and their schedules are lining up. Mm. And, you know, people who have cicadas where they live are really lucky, because not everyone does. And because, the periodical cicadas that are the 13 and the 17-year ones, their populations spread really slowly. So scientists can look at where glaciers passed and which areas are glaciated and see how long the cicadas have been present there. And if you don't have cicadas where you live, you're really not likely to get them in anything but geological time, because their territory, they only fly about half a mile in their entire life. And, you know, coming out only once every 13 or 17 years and only having, you know, a flight territory of half a mile, their territory is just spread so slowly, if at all. So you're lucky to be where they are. If you don't have them, you know, they're not going to pop up overnight or next year.
On the text line at 312-981-7200, this is from 847, something about a cicada fungus and danger to pets.
Yeah, so let's take those two questions separately.
Okay.
Those are fascinating questions. So are they dangerous to pets? No, not at all. So they, you know, pets eat them, pets play with them. Cicadas are like angry little wind-up toys. Like, they just, that's what they sound like. They're like, they just sound like cranky wind-up toys that you've startled. So it's really funny. So pets love them. They play with them. You don't have to worry about your pet with cicadas. You don't have to worry about your kids catching cicadas. Cicadas are safe to touch. They don't carry any diseases that can affect us. But the other question about the fungal disease that they carry is really interesting, because this fungal disease is a fungus that is entomopathic, which means bug harming, or you could say call it entomophilic, bug loving, but it infects cicadas, and it's you could call it a zombie fungus. It turns them into zombies.
Yeah, that's what I read in that headline.
Yeah, so the way that works is it only affects the males of the species. And the way that it works is a male that's infected with it, that male will respond to the mating calls of another male. So usually a non-infected male will give a mating call, and the females respond by fluttering their wings to show their receptivity, whereas males don't do that. They don't flutter their wings to show their receptivity to another male's call, except when they're infected with Mesospora cicadina, which is the name of this fungal parasite. It changes the brain of the infected male so that he will flutter his wings in response to another male mimicking the female. So the other male will come and bump into him to mate with him. And when he bumps into him, he infects that male that that responded to that mating call thinking it was a female. So now that one is infected with the fungal pathogen too. So that's how it gets passed along. It changes the brain of the infected male, makes him mimic the female wing fluttering behavior in response to the non-infected male's advances. So that's how it spreads. It's really interesting. It replaces their whole abdomen with a big chunk of fungal spores, basically. Oof. So their abdomen kind of falls away. They get this plug of spores so that when they make that contact, they infect the other one. And interestingly, Mesospora cicadina does not affect annual cicadas. It only infects the 13-year and 17-year periodical cicadas. So it's very specific.
More with Rebecca when we come back on 720 WGN. The vocal stylings of one, Rebecca Fife. What was that from? When you guys went out, didn't you go somewhere? Didn't you go searching?
Yes, that was from when we went mushroom hunting, and that was a song I wrote about Umphalotus, the jack-o'-lantern fungus. I'm the former president of the Illinois Mycological Association, a scientific and educational nonprofit about mushrooms. So bugs aren't my only nerdy interest. I like to talk mushrooms, too. And if anybody wants to get into mushrooms, they should contact the Illinois Mycological Association and go on their forays and attend their lectures. It's a great way to learn.
I will say that song is stuck in my head a lot.
Going to be an earwig for all of us. So let's get back to the cicadas, but not the hardcore cicada information. We, you know, started this whole thing. You said you wanted to rebrand, so to speak, the image.
Yes.
So let's get to the cicada parada.
Yes.
Would you explain what that is, please?
Yes. There are some wonderful folks at an insect museum in Chicago called the Insect Asylum. And they partnered. It's open to the public. You can go there and see their insect collections and their taxidermy. And they have a live possum that you can visit with. It's a really cool place. And they partnered with an organization out of Boston that when the cicada emergence happened in Boston, they made these really cool. How big would you say this sculpture is, John?
It is a sculpture of a cicada that, talking length, I'd say it's a yard.
Yeah, it's really big.
Yeah.
They made these plaster casts, and look at all this wonderful hanging apparatus on the back.
It's solid. It is solid.
Yeah, and there's two ways to get them.
Wait a minute. Let's get this straight. They are sculpted cicadas.
Yes, it's a plaster cast. Right. And you can either be an artist who's going to get one for free from Artist Asylum, paint it however you'd like. So it could be realistic, like the way that I've painted it,
right,
or it could be, you know, like the Chicago flag or something even more creative. And if you get it free, you have to give it back to the Insect Asylum, and they're working with the city to do an event called Cicada Parada. It's the cicada version of Cows on Parade.
This is the city of Chicago doing this?
Collaborating with, it's Insect Asylum, but they have the city's blessing. And these are going to be hung all over the city. There'll be a map online. You can read which artist did them. There'll be an art walk set up. You can, you know, they're destination objects that you go and visit and find on this art walk map that's going to be published. The other way to get one, if you want to have one to decorate, but you don't want to give it back to Insect Asylum to be part of the art walk, is you can call Insect Asylum on the day that you'd like to visit, ask how many are in stock, and as long as they have enough in stock, you can go in and purchase one for $75. And if you purchase it, then it's yours to keep and do with what you wish. So you can get one for free if you're an artist and you want to decorate it and then give it back to Insect Asylum for display, or if you would like to decorate it and keep it for some other purpose, like display, you know, in your own yard, then you just pay $75 for it. So people can contact the Insect Asylum, and they're on the web, and these are really gorgeous. And I painted this one, and I tried to make it as realistic as possible. So it has a black body, because that's what the periodical cicadas look like, unlike the annual cicadas that are green. So those okay. annuals, periodicals black. It has golden wing veins, and it has these crimson-colored bright red eyes. This is the best distinguishing feature. If you're wondering if the cicada that you're looking at is an annual cicada that comes out every year, or if it's a periodical cicada that emerges only once every 13 or 17 years, look for the red eyes. If it has red eyes, it's a periodical cicada emerging only once every 13 or 17 years.
Well, I can't wait to see this cicada parada. Is there a starting date for the parada of cicada?
I believe that it starts in mid-May, but check yeah. out the Insect Asylum's website for more info.
You know, I don't think we're going to have enough time for a reading, so let's plug it, though.
All right.
All right. We've got like about 90 seconds. First of all, if people want to get a hold of Landmark Pest Management, what do they do?
We're on the web at landmarkpest.com, or you can call us at 773-614-7378, and that's 773-614-PEST, P-E-S-T.
Now, remember, if you want, Rebecca will come and lie down on your face down in your yard, which will be the talk of the neighborhood. I'm absolutely positive of it. Now, what you have children's books about cicadas.
Yes, I'm going to be reading a different children's book live every week mm-hmm. on Landmark Pest Management's Facebook page. This one is called Cicada Symphony by Lisa Cobman. It's a beautiful book, and this page is about cicada love.
Give me the first four lines there.
All right.
I think we can get that in there.
With tons of cicadas dotting the sky, how would a lady find the right guy? With something inside her, she knew all along the right guy would find her with just the right song. When she first listened, she heard nothing sweeter. She flickered her wings and he flew up to meet her. He sang her a love song, then tipping his legs, said, "I love you so much. Now let's make some eggs."
I'm tuning in for that. Thank you, Rebecca. That's fantastic.